Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go. It's 5:03. It is the warm-up show brought to you by Kearney Bank, your bank for today. For tomorrow, visit kearneybank.com for details. We got a lot of different players today. There's no Eddie Scazzeri. There's no Al Dukes. There's no Boomer Esiason. There's no Greg Giannotti. But other than that, we are here in lockdown, and I'm talking about, we might have a couple people. I'm not really sure. I know I got Chris, Freddie, Lopresti over here, and I don't know if Sal is with us because we had a little miscommunication. Sal, are you there? No.
Bueller?
Okay, Sal's not there. Well, yeah, so I was not going to ask Sal to stay because he started at midnight as I was discussing this with Al the
and
other day.
And he has a newborn at home as well.
And he has a newborn, and he's been doing radio for 5 hours, and I felt that was a little much. But apparently Mark did ask him, so he was planning on staying. I guess he shut off. So Chris is here, as we discussed on Wednesday. Hi,
as usual, the communication around here just tremendous. What
are you gonna do? Listen, these things happen.
How the hell are you on a Friday morning, Jerry Recco?
I got to tell you, it's Friday, and with the lack of sleep I've had over the last 2 weeks, yeah. I'm excited that it's Friday.
Yes, I
took a nap. I went to the gym yesterday at 12:30. We were starting, so I got there at 12:05, so I could specifically set my alarm for 20 minutes on my phone. I passed out. And when I woke up, I didn't know where I was, what day it was. It was the greatest 20-minute nap I've ever had in my life.
Those are the best, where you wake up and you have no idea what's going on.
No.
You feel like you were just dropped out of the sky onto Earth. Yeah.
And I was talking to Al about this on the podcast. Like, sometimes the most vivid, best dreams I have are in that 20-minute nap.
Short window, yeah.
Which is bizarre to me that even happens.
Or I sometimes feel on these nights where I get, you know, not a full night's sleep to come in for this show. Usually it's 3 or 4 hours, right? And I feel like when I wake up, the dream is vivid, and it's just been so long that I feel like there's no way I could have, you know, been asleep for only a couple of hours.
Yes, absolutely. You
know? It's like a long narrative that just keeps on going.
I fell asleep last night around 10-ish, I would say.
Yeah, it was about the same.
Woke up at 11:30. I thought I missed my alarm. I'm like, wow, it's only 11:30. This is awesome.
Did you go back, though?
I did.
Okay, because I know sometimes you struggle with that.
Yeah, sometimes. No. Sometimes I just drive in and deal with it. But whatever, anyhow. So, watched a lot of the game last night. I did fall asleep prior to the ninth inning, but watched it this morning.
Same.
So, the Mets limp, and I mean limp, into the Subway Series, as do the Yankees, though they didn't lose yesterday because they didn't play. Not sure why. What a weird game in Atlanta, though.
The opposite of the night before, right?
But Very strange.
It counts just the same as a loss.
Yeah, a loss is a loss. But if you look at Guillorme involved in the first inning on the triple where he misses the tag after the runner was initialized, Adrianza, I guess it was, initially ruled out, replay reviews it and changes it. So he's involved there, and then he's involved in the last play of the game.
Yeah.
The play that, and it's funny because the ball that bounces off of Lugo's foot is hit right to Lindor if it doesn't hit him.
Yep.
And ricochets to what's his name? Guillorme.
Wasn't meant to be.
No, and it's
ball
interesting.
Ball doesn't leave the infield.
Because your initial reaction was like, Guillorme made the right play.
Yeah, I got up annoyed and I said to you, like, what's Lugo, like, what's he doing yelling at him? But then when I went back and I looked at it and slowed it down, I was like, you know what? I got to take the hit on that. It's not to say it was a guaranteed out at third base. It probably would have been a close bang-bang play because he's, you know, sprinting in the opposite direction pretty much, but you had Acuna running from second. He didn't start the game because he had back issues. He comes in late, wasn't running at 100%, probably wasn't feeling 100%. So, yeah, it's a legitimate shot that he had to play there.
Well, and it's also, to the fact, I think Lugo was a little late pointing to third base as well. Yeah. Like, if he is pointing to third base as Guillerme's approaching the ball, maybe Guillerme sees him.
Right, maybe he breaks down as he feels it instead of fielding it on the run. And Rojas said after the game he was one of the guys from the dugout as well yelling to go to third.
It's also a loud crowd.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I don't know what they hear. And I do think the reactionary play is to go to first.
Yeah.
And I think Lugo was a little late with the whole third pointing. But is this a bad loss?
They tell me Sal is on the line.
Sal, right?
Now, hold on a second. Couple of things. First of all, you guys both play baseball and play it well.
Yeah.
There is no way in hell you could expect a guy who is charging a ball barehanded
like
that.
Did you just listen to what we said?
Yeah, but Sal,
I heard
the difference.
End of it. I heard the end of it. You're saying, his play was at third, he's going to spin around. No way.
Here's the difference. Normally, when a third baseman's charging a ball to field it barehanded, he's in on the infield grass. This ball, as he's fielding it, is much closer to the base path. It's more of an unusual situation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a guaranteed player, that it's a bonehead play or anything like that, but going back and looking at where Acuna was as he fields the ball,
also,
knowing that he wasn't running at 100%, I think he had a shot.
You also misunderstood what I said. What I said was, that's the play to make. You field and you fire to first, and it's Lugo's fault because he didn't point to third fast enough. Perhaps
right,
if...
But even if he did, I mean, you know, you're not going to be able to stop. And first, you have to.
Well, you take a different
route
to the ball. Sure, you do.
Jared.
What? I'm not blaming Guillerme. It's on Lugo. Lugo can't start pointing to third as he's grabbing
the ball.
You can't change. But if the ball gets ricocheted and he's screaming third immediately, Guillerme makes a different play.
Yeah, he fields it differently. He breaks down and fields it like you would a regular ground ball with his feet
as opposed
spread.
To charging it and throwing on the run.
And
he
pushes
plenty
off
of time
his left foot and he goes right to third
but
base.
But it's not his fault. I mean, he's making the play he should have made. I put it on Lugo.
More importantly, am I working or not? I get an email that's saying I'm on till 6. Then you guys are saying you're done. You're doing it. What's going on here? I've been going since.
Listen, the more the better. Like I said, I said to you in the text, I opted not to ask you because you were on at midnight, for God's sakes. I was not aware that Mark emailed you because I had no idea of that.
Shocking.
So we decided just ask Chris to make it easy so you could go to bed between the newborn, between a 5-hour shift. Plus, I'm sure you were on SNY and you got all those bobbleheads staring at you behind you in there. What are you coming in, by the way?
I am going to be there. I'll probably come in Friday. I'm actually filling in during the afternoon, so I think I'm going to come in for that at the very least.
Okay.
And then once – I'm not opposed to coming in. The problem is SNY is from home, so I can't do SNY from home and then do the fan in studio. So
I saw you at SNY the other day, not for the late night stuff, but for the game stuff. Yeah,
yeah. It was like the first time in 3 months.
Yeah.
So you know what happens in that scenario? I go in early and then I drive home to do the late show from home, which is just
how bizarre,
crazy. Yeah, but anyway, once they have us going in regularly for the late show, then I'm just going to do, then I'll do, radio from the studio because I'm not going to come home, obviously, but I can't do one here and the other there. That's the problem. But yeah, no, Mark email. So Chernoff's gone for one day and now there's a mix up with
the
scheduling already?
Yeah. We had something wrong yesterday morning,
Marinick.
Too. By the way, I spoke to him yesterday.
Yeah.
Not about what we said,
but
seeing what's going on in his professional life right now. Felt bad for him.
He's got to be overwhelmed.
He's got a lot on his
plate. There's a lot happening right now.
Yeah.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. I mean, it's busy.
Is that who's making a schedule? So, like, if I need an off day, Marinick is the guy to
hit up
now?
That's the guy. For now,
it's breaking news to me. I'm glad I was still emailing Mark. Hey, Mark, I need off August 18th or whatever it is. I never got anything back.
Keep sending that.
Not his problem.
I don't think he's got the email anymore, just for the record. By the way,
had we
done a segment of Sal... You had the, I would have pulled this, 3:43 yesterday morning was one of the funnier things I've heard driving in as a guy's talking. Now, you are correct. There is something wrong with this phone system that when a caller is talking and you try to talk, they do not hear you.
I've noticed that as well, yes.
Yes. I've been a guest. Well, I'm not a guest, but I've called in and then Al will say, do you not hear them talking to you?
Yeah.
No, I don't. So you're sitting there, you're home. And you got the guy talking, you're trying to have a conversation with him, and all I hear is you going like, am I talking to myself? Is this
hello?
Hello, do you hear me? Is this on? And I can hear the frustration oozing through the phone.
Yeah.
It's so annoying because I can't see what's going on. I don't know if my line's dropped out, but I'm trying to talk to the guy, and the call just keeps going as if I'm not existing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it is annoying.
Yeah.
It's happened quite a bit.
Happened to Moose and Maggie yesterday a few times, too. There was one guy that wouldn't shut up, and they're both trying to interject, and I'm sitting there in the car like, you can tell they're annoyed. just hit off.
Well, as you know, some of the overnight callers have a lot to say.
I know that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Even when the hosts are, you know, here in studio, sometimes they just keep talking as well. You know,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't mind it. I just like the back and forth. And if they can't hear what I'm saying, that's a problem.
Yes,
and I'm thinking they're blowing me off. But meanwhile, it's a technical issue. And then I'm assuming that it's from home. But you're telling me that happens in the studio, too? That's a major issue.
Well, now we have a technical problem.
We do. What's our technical problem?
No. Sal got it.
I got nothing. Yeah. I understand. How has it been when you do these midnight shows? You got a full bank of calls?
Actually, yeah. I wouldn't say full bank the whole way. Now, yesterday's after the Yankee loss was great. Full
of
bank
course.
Yankees basically the whole way. But starting at midnight, I mean, that's you got to pace yourself. No guests, midnight till 5.
You had no guests?
No, because here's the problem. Last time I did this, Jared, and then I was on with you for the extra hour.
Yeah.
Last time I did, I taped two spots and had one guest live, and it did help out. The problem is, if I'm taping the guest, that's got to be done at 11 or 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And there's stuff going on. The guys there can't do it. Not only do I have to schedule it, but then I'm also doing the SNY stuff. So I just, you know what? The hell with it. It's too much work. Just let's go live and figure it out.
Do
and
it live.
Thankfully, the calls have been good. Yeah, we'll do it live. Right.
Fair enough. I mean, I like when you're ready for the music to roll at the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, thank God.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I texted him the other day. Oh, man, I got to find it. He said something right at the end of the show, and it cracked me up. I'd have to find it. But
something like that was enough for me. I think it was. But you know what's funny? Usually I'll have calls the whole way. The whole way I'll have calls. My voice is just starting to go, as you could probably hear it a little bit now. 4:40. I'm like dying for just somebody. Just one call to get me home, and then there's nothing. And I got to sit here and talk about hot dogs and grilling or my body fat, whatever it is that gets me to. You got to make something up because everything's been exhausted. At that point, the last segment of the show is when I could use the caller the most, and generally that's the time where sometimes there aren't any.
That's when you need the guy who's just going to keep talking because he can't hear you, right? That's the perfect spot for that.
Exactly. Phil, keep it going.
This is what I love about you. Honestly, I'm being serious about this, and Al says the same thing all the time. You have been talking for 5.5 hours now, and you sound like you've been shot out of a cannon.
I'm excited. I got a newfound energy. And by the way, I don't know if you heard it. You probably didn't because I think I only touched on this earlier. I thought that I was in trouble medically. I had some false blood tests come back.
Really?
That basically, oh, yeah. And you know what it's like waiting for results. And then, so I woke up the other day to a phone call from hey, the doctor's going to call you back. They want to discuss your test.
That's never good.
Yeah, right, exactly. So then I get the call, and I'm waiting, and I'm sick, and my mouth is dry, and I can't breathe. I wait for the call. Then she's on the phone going, so, and she's trying to sugarcoat it, but I know the problem is coming. So your blood results are a little off the WBC count. And I'm like, just break it down in layman terms for me. What's happening here? Well, your white blood cell is high. Is there some kind of issue? I'm like, no. Your thyroid is low. Your cholesterol is high. Your bilirubin levels. Bilirubin? What is that? So all these, there's like 19 different issues that she goes over. And I'm like, uh-huh. And now you know me. I'm a hypochondriac to begin with. I'm envisioning my funeral. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not even going to get to see my daughter turn one.
Oh,
it's over for me. So she goes over all these things. We got to schedule. We're going to do a retest just in case. We'll do a retest. And then we want to do a CT scan to make sure. I'm like, well, what do you mean make sure? She's like, just rule out everything. Okay, right. That's the thing. So now for 2 days, I immediately go get tested. For 2 days, I am sick to my stomach, almost to a point where I wanted to call out yesterday. Because I didn't know how I was mentally going to get through a show knowing that my life is coming to an end here. I mean, this is horrible. I don't want to have a surgery. I can't even envision this stuff. So it turns out I get the test results finally back today after calling them. And like, hey, something's got to give here. What's going on? It was 2 days ago. Oh, yeah, they came back normal. There must have been an error with the lab. Or the cortisone shot that you had the day before might have impacted that.
Huh. Wow.
I'm like, what? So, I mean, I had a new energy. I'm alive, baby. I'm ready to go. So that lasted till about 3 a.m. And then I kind of petered out. But here I am now with you two guys, and I got a newfound energy.
I can appreciate the feeling you had because I will tell you this. Probably, let's see, Matthew's 16. So probably when he was like 2. So I'm going back 14 years now. I woke up one morning, and I had a lump in my chin, basically. that now in high school I chewed tobacco for sure, like most kids. Like well, not most, I shouldn't say most.
It was
like
a thing
lot of baseball
do,
players
yeah,
did. Yes,
sure.
I chewed a lot of tobacco in high school and a little bit in college. And you know, we saw what happened to Tony Gwynn, and it certainly can be bad. And I remember the moment I woke up with that, and it didn't feel like a like it was concerning. And you start Googling, which is the worst thing you can possibly
do. Oh,
it's the worst. And Sal, I 100% thought I had mouth cancer, some sort of an oral cancer, and went to the doctor the next day thinking, oh, my God. And we had just done, no joke, me and my wife had just done our, what the hell are they called? The wills.
Ah.
Like, I want to say a month or two prior. And I'm saying, like, you got to be kidding me. Like, we didn't want to do that because we felt like once we do that,
yeah,
you know.
It's morbid, right.
And so end up going to the doctor, and it turned out to be, it wasn't a pimple. It was a.
Was it a cyst of some sort? Yes, it was a cyst.
Yeah. And I don't know why I didn't think of that because my father's got a history of cysts. I have too, but I don't know. In that spot and where it was so close to where the tobacco used to go when I was a kid.
Yeah, you figured what else could it be?
Absolutely, I thought that. And so I actually understand the sick feeling that you had because I had it for about three straight days. So I get it, dude. I get it.
Generally, your mind goes to worst case scenario. So waiting for blood tests or waiting. Matter of fact, I was actually okay, you know, because I went for a routine physical. And then my mom started pestering me. Did you get the blood test back? I'm like, Ma, leave me alone. Everything is fine. Although the fact that she kept calling, I'm like, she's going to jinx this. And then the longer that it went, then the doctor called and there was an issue. And then waiting on top of that, the last time I had that sick a feeling was when I knew I was going to get fired from the fan 10 years ago.
You dropped that tweet the other day. That was tremendous. The churn off line. I mean, not to laugh at your misfortune in that particular time. But
it's Mark.
Yeah.
Don't come in today. You're terminated. Okay, Mark. Thank you. Thank you.
We can laugh about it now. You're okay.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. Are you going to hang out or are you going to go to bed?
I mean, you tell me. I'm loving that.
I'm good. We got a lot to get to.
The more the merrier.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'll hang with you then. Yeah,
if you're good, I'm good. All right. So Sal will hang out for a little while with me and Chris. What the hell? We got Kim coming up at 6 o'clock. It is the warm-up show. Now, Al is off, as you know. Had he been here, he would tell you for the 9,000th time about his condo. He bought it last year. And by the way, not that I've been invited, but I have seen photographs.
Not
and it
once?
Is no.
Come on.
And you know what's so funny about this? And I know we got to get to break. When he first moved in, my wife put together a basket
for him.
No. She put together a basket of the things he likes. Little Kit Kat bars, dog treats because he had just gotten whimsy.
Sliced turkey?
No, I'm joking. No, well, we thought about that. But no, but my point is she put together this big basket. And as the weeks went on, I'm like, wow, he's not inviting us, which I get. That's fine. Pandemic. And I could have just sent it, but he lives 20 minutes from
me.
I wanted to at least be invited down to whatever. And he knows this, so that's why it's funny. Found myself opening it.
Yeah, why not?
Eating the Kit Kats.
Sure.
And wound up throwing the dog biscuits out. There's no basket any longer. So awesome. Anyhow, so it's been a while now since he's been there. It's over a year. And that condo's already worth more than he bought it for. So stop paying rent and build equity with Kearney Bank. You deserve to make money on your investment. Kearney was his bank of choice and made the entire mortgage process easy. You want to go with someone you can trust and actually get on the phone with when you have questions. And I always say this, think this. Al is a pain in the butt. And they had no problem getting on the phone with him. That's how good Kearney Bank is. So make sure you call Kearney Bank, no doubt. He trusted them. You can too. Visit kearneybank.com/mortgages. That's kearneybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We still got a lot to do. Sal will stick with us. Me, Chris, Sal, warm-up show. We continue next on The Fan.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Al and Jerry. Keto friendly and GMO free.
So we're going to do that a cappella for a moment there. 527, halfway past 5, something like that. I don't know. Boomer's not here, nor is G. Congratulations to the Giannottis. Had a baby girl a couple of days ago. Was very relieved that everything went well and that he called in and actually made that announcement.
Yeah.
Because we had to hold that for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, kind of wondering and waiting and hoping for them.
So Summer Rae, she looked alert awesome. And beautiful, so congrats to them.
Sal is joining us as he's going to just work all day. I think he's going to stay until 6 p.m. it's me, it's Sal, it's Chris, and we got the guys inside, of course, as well. How real quick, before we get back to the baseball, just have you gotten comfortable with the whole dad thing yet? I meant Chris.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've kind of taken a what? Turn in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so. I'm actually to a point now where I actually enjoy it. You know, I like, I'm just being honest.
Now.
I mean, no, I'm being, look, I mean, there's only one way to be, and that's honest. At first, it wasn't necessarily something I was looking forward to. I didn't know what to expect, and it was going to be challenging, but now I'm really getting a kick out of it and enjoying it, and it's weird, man. Everybody says, oh, enjoy it each moment because it goes so fast.
Yeah,
you can't. It really does. It, you're right. It's impossible to do, but it really does go so fast. So, yeah, the bottom line is I am enjoying it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because I was worried for you, to be quite
honest. Because you knew the truth.
It helps, though, when you're working as much as he
true.
Is, so you can break it up and
that's true.
You know, feel like you're contributing and doing what you need to do and also getting those little breaks away from, you know, an infant and the challenges that come with that.
That is very true. I do know, and then we'll move on. When Matthew was born, and then of course even going through it with Joseph, it's like, and I've said this to my wife, she gets mad at me, but you can keep the first 3 months.
Yes.
I mean, until they become like little, like it's because you don't know what the hell you're doing. And until they grow a little bit and become like little people, then it gets awesome.
Yeah.
But those first few, and I know, at least in my wife's case and all the friends that in my life that I can reference, the moms love those first few months when they're so small and tiny. And I get it.
Yeah, that's up the mom's alley. There's a lot more that's falling on their plate in those months.
I like month three. Let's start there.
Yeah, a little personality kicks in.
Yes, exactly right. And they start laughing a little bit. So that's kind of where you're at now, I would think. So.
Like 2.5 months. The thing I'm dreading, though, or maybe not dreading, but more nervous about is
first
when
boyfriend.
She's able to. Forget that. I'll be dead by then. I mean, I know the test will come in negative by then. But I'm worried about her when she could walk and move around because right now it's great. You could rock her a little bit. You feed her. All right, you put her down. You could watch her and you could do whatever you have to do. When she starts moving around, then you can't.
When
take
they
your
become
eye
mobile,
off.
It changes everything.
It's called you have to start parenting a little
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you kind of signed up for it, just so you're aware.
At least you got a girl, though. I've got boys 5 and 2, and I want to wrap them in bubble wrap all the time because they're
that's a lot.
I mean, every time you turn your head, you try to do something, you know, someone's falling down, tripping, banging into something, a lot of bruises and Band-Aids and cuts, and it's just the way it goes.
Understand.
They're
going to
get hurt.
No doubt. All right, so let's get into the Subway Series a little bit. So I'm not going to fight with Sal about the last play of the Met game last night, but I will say I did think, and I said this to LaPresti in the newsroom before, I thought the Inciarte at-bat was the biggest at-bat of the night because he's 0-2 on him, the game's about over. He loses them and blah, blah, blah. Everything else happens. So they lose a game. They come in. You got two teams that are limping into this series. The Mets have lost 5 of 7. The Yankees have lost 5 of 6, I believe it is. And, you know, I'm with you, Sal. I could see the Yankees sweeping this. I do not in any way, shape, or form see the Mets being able to take 3 games here. So it's, I don't want to say it's a turning point of the season type of series, but it could be. And Dominic Smith saying last night, did you catch that? I'm sure you did. Dominic Smith saying after the All-Star break is when the games count? Is he out of his mind?
Like, are you talking to me or CeeLo?
Whoever.
Somebody.
Hell,
anybody.
Say something.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what are we doing? These games don't count?
I didn't hear it. I heard a caller explain it to me.
Yeah, I saw
and
the quote.
That's the way that it came across to me when he was making, like, we'll really kick it into gear in the second half. Well, that's just a stupid quote. I mean, then the first half doesn't mean anything. You've been in first place this whole time. What does it mean? Nothing? So, no, that is foolish. Look, the thing I'm excited about here is this is a meaningful regular season series between these two. That usually does not happen. So, Yankees need it more. I think they're more desperate. But the Mets clearly going the wrong way, and they could be knocked out of first place at the hands of the Yankees, which adds intrigue.
It's interesting to me that your instinct, Jerry, is to say you could see the Yankees sweeping the series. And as a Yankee fan, when I look at the pitching matchups, I don't have a ton of confidence. You know, obviously Cole's going Saturday, but, you know, we don't know exactly where he's at. Stroman's been pretty good. I mean, Walker's been great for the Mets. Montgomery's eh. And then Michael King and then the kid McGill, who's got some upside. I don't look at that, and I know both offenses are struggling, and the Mets don't score a lot of runs, but, I mean, the Yankee offense can give you one of those games where they strike out 12 times and leave 10 guys on base.
They can. What concerns me about the Mets is what you just said. They don't hit.
I know.
Like, at all. They've scored now, with last night, they've scored 23 runs in their last 8 games. Yeah. Total.
Right.
I mean, it's embarrassing, and, I hate to keep using the word, but I mean it. They are a boring watch. I mean, they really are. And the Yankees, while they've been boring at times too, no question, I still feel like every single time Judge and Stanton and Sanchez come up, I still feel like the ball's going to be hit a country mile.
Yeah, and they got the offense going in the couple games against the Angels. But
I would have liked to have seen them play yesterday.
I know. Well,
to see if there was any carryover.
I think they were happy to not play. I'm surprised that game got... You know,
they canceled that game
very early
before the rain came.
Yes.
And I understand the forecast. Yes. I get it. But I think you got to wait a little bit longer before you make a decision like that.
That was, I said to you, it was the old Bull Durham. I get us a rain out today. That's kind of how it felt.
A rain out with rain.
Right. Exactly.
They wanted no part of that.
Yeah.
I know. But I don't know. To me, it's a goofy thing to do. And the fact that Major League Baseball allows that without the rain falling. And listen, 5 o'clock, especially, a monsoon hit, no doubt. But the game would be over by 2 hours already.
Especially for a team that they only play once.
Right.
It comes in once,
which
is
a tough
bizarre.
Spot for the Angels now. But Jerry made the point also, maybe they want to wait around all day because the Angels are going back home. They play tonight at home against the Orioles. But yeah, now they have to come back for a standalone where the day before they're at home. They play the Cummies, play the Yankees, and then they go to Detroit, I believe, after that. So
I assumed they were on the East Coast based on that reschedule.
They will be, sort of. I mean, and Detroit's not that much of a flight. So they'll be over here. It's kind of like what the Mets did with the Nationals this week. You know, the one game in Washington before they went to Atlanta.
They play Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock game at home against the Astros. And then they'll fly east, play the Yankees Monday night. And then they go to Detroit for a Tuesday night game. So at least the same time
zone. Perfect,
Detroit's east, eastern time zone. Yeah.
So yeah,
don't you think the different levels, you guys were touching on this a little bit before, don't you think though the different levels of offense with the Yankees and Mets, like, you look at the Yankees and say, oh, a bad night for them offensively is they score 4 runs. For the Mets, they're not scoring more than 2.
And get shut out.
Exactly. They're lucky if they score 2, as a matter of fact. That's not going to get you wins on the road in Yankee Stadium. So even as bad as the Yankee offense has been, their bad is still much better than the Mets' bad offense. That's why I'm kind of with Jerry here, CeeLo, with this series this week.
And I'll do you one better. You know, I mentioned 23 runs in the last 7 games. If you take out the Phillies' bullpen, you can take a few more runs off the board because they were stymied for 4 games by that starting pitching. I mean, literally scored 1 run off the – and I forget who it was. It was the least of the 4 starters that gave up the 1 run.
In the Philly series?
Yes. I mean, you talk about a team that can't hit. It is embarrassing. And I saw your tweet, too, about – what was it about? McNeil and Conforto? Is that who it was?
Oh, God. Yeah, I just can't stand them anymore. They're both dreadful.
It's you talk about overrating players. I mean – I'm tired of watching Jeff McNeil slam his helmet down. I mean, how about this? Hit the ball.
Like he's good. Yeah, right. Like he's good. He slammed that helmet down more than he's driven in runs. I mean, give me a break. Look, if you're grounding out every single time with a guy on, you shouldn't be slamming your helmet. You should almost be expecting it. Oh, another ground out with a guy on. I expect it. What are you so mad at? We all know what's coming. Why are you so angry? McNeil, and this is what I was kind of saying before with the Mets' problem. They have guys that have had 1 year as opposed to a proven track record where you can trust them to be consistent. It's not like this is an aberration. We still don't know what McNeil is or what Alonso is. Now, Conforto's been inconsistent his whole career, and this is his worst year by far, which is just infuriating. But, man, it's the same stuff with these guys.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So,
be a nice time for Lindor to go on a run, wouldn't it?
Something. Start somewhere. I mean,
I do think he's going to get hot this week. I think the Mets going to have a rough time. I think Lindor's going to have a big week.
Well, if he does, then they've got a good chance to win games this weekend. Because they are lacking.
Not necessarily.
No, they got a chance. Because I think the pitching will be good enough. They need someone that's going to give them a 4-for-4, 4 RBI night.
Yeah.
And he's more than capable of doing that.
I think it's advantage pitching Mets, advantage hitting Yankees, you know, in general, as you're looking at the series as a whole. I get Cole's in there and DeGrom's not. But overall, I go advantage pitching for
and
the
And who's
Mets.
Pitching Sunday night for the Yankees? I haven't seen that yet.
They've got King listed.
He is. Okay.
So that's why, you know.
And that's
King and Montgomery
McGill.
Yeah, who... You watched him pitch the other night. I mean, he's got Let's say he's got a lot more to work with stuff-wise than Michael King does.
We got to take a quick break. 5:37, the warm-up show until 6. Kim Jones joins us then here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Al and Jerry, fresh and organic, and no antibiotics ever.
All right, Al is off, a little bit lazy. Actually, he's just taking a nice long weekend. He's got the wraparound long weekend. I think he's off Tuesday, as a matter of fact. How about that?
We'll do the warm-up show next Wednesday.
Oh, there you go. Al, okay, because I am off on vacation starting 10 o'clock, so I will not be here next week either. So it's myself, it's Lopresti, we got Sal, we got Fliegelman, we got Ed, we got Kim coming in at 6 o'clock, warm-up show until 6. We're talking Mets, Yankees. We got the Subway Series about to begin coming up later tonight. I don't know. You want to do the baseball? Because I have a couple of other things.
Let's do some other things. We got all day to do the baseball.
I want to ask, and Sal, I think you're a big NBA guy. Are you still, or since the Hawks ruined your life, not so much?
I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a big NBA guy. I got back into it because the Knicks were good this year.
So this is going to cross over.
Front runner.
NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
NBA/broadcasting. Yeah. So for years and years, we've talked about, like, Tony Romo, what he's being paid by CBS. I, for the life of me, don't understand it, but hey, good for you, as Al would say. They talk about wanting to get Peyton Manning in the booth, but they're going to have to pay him a fortune.
Sure.
And I will continue to say, why? Like, I don't know. I really don't know anybody that puts an NFL game on to listen to the broadcasters. Now, can it enhance the broadcast? Yes. Should you be paid well for it? Of course. But to me, to get absurd amounts of money to do it, I don't understand. I don't know why
you're getting
the bidding
rights for it. Well, those guys get absurd amounts because they don't need it, right?
Then move on.
But then,
there's many people that can do it.
Why do the networks feel the need to get? Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to, I'm trying to get to a point here because I don't want to make it think this is about her, because it's not.
I know where you're headed. Yeah,
it's just about the mentality. Mm-hmm. So Maria Taylor is the, I guess, studio host, I guess, for the NBA Finals and the NBA on ESPN sideline reporter.
Doesn't she do some college football stuff as
well?
That
too. Yeah. Yes, that too. So she was making, and maybe the reports are wrong, I don't know. She was making around $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
She turned down, according to the reports, nearly $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Why?
I'd imagine she's got something else lined up, no?
But explain
now,
to me.
Now, wait, didn't she, though, Jared, turn that down I don't know if it was pre-pandemic.
I believe it was during the pandemic.
I think it was, wasn't it before ESPN started cutting all these salaries? Because then, the way that I understood it was that she was offered five, she wanted more like eight.
She wanted eight, like Stephen A. Smith.
And then that five came off the table, which, by the way, why is he getting paid $8 million? If they went to him and said, hey, we're not paying you $8 million. What's he going to do?
I'll tell you why. Because at least in his case, and I'm not a fan, I'm really of the over-the-top type of personality that he has.
Although I do
like him, yes. Because sometimes I think that he does say things just to say them. But I do like that he goes after these guys and confronts them. Look at the YouTube view, Sal. I mean, they make money off that. Like, I can make a case that they make money off Stephen A. Smith. I can't make a case.
But where's he going to go? Somebody else going to pay him that much money?
I think they would, yes. In that case, I think they would. In the case of an analyst, I don't see where you're making money.
Yeah,
or a sideline reporter, especially if they're offered. If you were offered, to be fair, if Odyssey came to you and offered you five times what you're making. Five times. It's not a 6% raise. Five times what you're making. And you want double that?
It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Look, if they came to me and said, hey, Sal, we're going to cut your pay, but okay, sure. What do you need?
Careful
what
now. You don't want to admit that on the air.
Hey, we have delay going right now.
You know what I mean? Think about it. You know, how many times have we seen people in this business overplay their hand? In my mind, I'm thinking, you're fortunate you have an opportunity. I'm not talking about her situation specifically because I don't understand it enough. All I know is if you're getting paid that type of money, you're getting offered that type of money, you take it. I would say the same thing for an athlete.
I agree.
But you're saying now this was pre-pandemic?
I don't know. I thought it was right around it. I thought it was in the summer.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's neither here nor there. To me, it's
well, I just
the fact
wonder
that
if she's looks at, or whoever's representing her looks at, you know, whatever they're making off the college, let's say their college football package in general. I understand she does other stuff too. And maybe they were basing it as a percentage of that since she's a part of the team. I mean, that's the best way I guess
to me has nothing to do with
justify it, but
I mean, I would disagree with that. To me, that's the whole, you know, owner player thing.
Yeah.
Like these players think that they should make more than they're making and the owner make too much. Well, how about you take the risk then? Or go start your own league. Be a tough guy. Start your own league. Yeah. Take on the $1 billion debt if you think you can do it. I haven't seen one guy do that
yet. I'm surprised. I would have assumed that, you know, you play that sort of game of poker and feel you have that leverage. You've got something else lined up. But I guess it sounds like she doesn't.
Maybe. And I'm not saying she doesn't deserve a raise. I'm not saying everybody doesn't deserve a raise.
Right.
All good with that. But if you were offered five times your pay.
Yeah.
And you say no to that, and so reportedly the offer now on the table is between $2 and $3 million a year.
Right. Which is still a raise.
Right.
Which is right. And
well,
she
not
better
take
have
that
something.
Now.
What
else? Well,
she doesn't have anything else lined
that's
up.
That's
going
to come
Why
back
not?
To what CeeLo just said. She better have something lined up that's pretty good. And I'll tell you another thing. If I'm the other company that has something else lined up and now I see this,
yeah.
You know what?
I'm gonna cut your offer too.
We thought maybe six. Yeah. How about we give you four?
Hey, so can I ask you something real quick
yeah.
to change the topic a little
Please
bit?
Do.
You guys both, you mentioned, Jerry, you're off next week. I just want to get ahead of it instead of behind it. I'm looking at the schedule now. It says warm-up show 5 to 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Who is doing that?
No one. Al Dukes told me there's no warm-up show on Tuesday morning. So you
right,
can
so this
mark
is what I mean. So
down.
Now I'm going to have to go in, now I have to go an extra hour. I'm not getting paid for this. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I mean, I'm happy to come on with you and chat from 5 to 6. Would you like me to join you? I'll be here. I'll join you from 5 to 6 on Tuesday.
No, but it says, obviously, I'm just joking off the Maria Taylor thing. Just if you want to make that clear. But I'm looking at the schedule. It says Sal, it actually says Sal 2:30 to 5, which doesn't make any sense because I don't know what show starts at 2:30. And then I emailed Caitlin about that and said, hey.
That's not going to go anywhere for you.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, so I get the email saying with the schedule, hey, by the way, it's my last day. So I was like, hey, congratulations. Best of luck moving forward. One last thing for you. When does my shift start on Tuesday? Nothing back.
Crickets.
And now I'm hearing from you guys. Yeah, exactly. Nothing back. But now it says I go till 5 on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Same thing for Wednesday. Well, the Wednesday you said you're doing it, CeeLo?
Yeah, Al's back. So Wednesday we will have the regular Al Dukes themed warm-up show.
Wait, rewind a second. You just said it's Caitlin's last day?
Yesterday was, yeah.
You're kidding.
Oh, I told you David's got a lot on his plate. I wasn't joking.
What? No, I heard... I heard that she was moving on soon.
Correct.
I didn't know she's gone.
She's gone. I just found that out about,
wow.
I don't know, 16 hours ago.
Okay.
So
there's
a lot going
Caitlin
on. Mark, Caitlin, Spike's not here yet. There's some things going on. So I went back there to talk to him yesterday, and he was basically, you know, drowning in paperwork.
Mm. And apparently I'm going to be doing that extra hour then by myself, unless you decide to do the warm-up show, right?
Well, again, if you want me to come on and hang with you for the hour,
dude,
I'm happy
I would
to
say
do that.
You're in till 6.
Yeah, there's really no way around that unless I'm going to solo host from 5 to 6. I mean, I could, but I don't know if anyone wants to hear that.
Well, who's determining this? I mean, I'll do what anybody...
That's
just
the million-dollar question, Sal.
Here's the thing. I don't want to make it. Somebody tell me what to do. I will do it.
As Boomer said yesterday, we are a rudderless ship right now.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said on the air, yeah. We're a rudderless ship.
Yeah, I think we're doing fine.
Well, we are, but, you know.
As long as Sal can figure out what to do Tuesday
His question
morning.
Is fair. Who's,
oh,
who's making the decisions?
Right now.
But in fairness to you, you're not coming on at midnight Monday night, right?
Oh, no. I don't care.
2:40
you're
starting?
No. I don't want to get hit at 5 o'clock when I think, all right, see, I'm going to bed. And, oh, no. You're on until 6. That's what I don't
and
want.
And I get Sal's point because for those that don't understand how it works, it's not an hourly pay. It's a, you know.
It's a shift.
It's a shift.
Yeah,
so it could be 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, same money.
Right.
I'm going to say, obviously, I was joking. If I'm doing 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. this morning, you think I care about doing an extra hour? No, I prefer doing the extra hour.
You just want to know
where it is. Yeah, right.
That's exactly. All. I totally understand. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. It is the warm-up show until 6. We will be joined by Kim Jones in just a couple of moments. All right, Al is off, as you know, but we also know he's been in his new condo for just over a year now, and it's already worth more than he paid for. Pretty cool. It's worth more in just a year's time. So stop paying rent and build equity with Kearney Bank. They make the entire mortgage process easy. Visit kearneybank.com/mortgages to learn more. Rates are still low, and you don't need to put down 20%. How about that? Go with Kearney Bank. That's kearneybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, 5 in front of 6. Warm-up show brought to you by Kearney Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearneybank.com for details. Al is off, so it is myself, LaPresti, and Sal hanging out for just another couple of moments as well. How about, all right, so you seem to be on board that the Mets are going to do well. You're a Yankee fan. Sal seems to be on board that the Yankees are going to do well. He's a Met fan, and I'm kind of right down the middle.
The Yankees are going to sweep, man.
No, that's not what I said. I could see that. Yeah. Yes, I could see that. I'm just concerned about this Met horrific offense. That's all.
And I'm concerned about the bad juju the Yankees seem to have right now.
You know what we didn't do, real quick? Huh. And this is one comment that I actually enjoyed hearing, because I heard yesterday a lot. People were saying, oh, Hal Steinbrenner didn't say anything. I disagree.
I'm with you 100%.
I love the fact that he said he's sick to his stomach with the way these players are
underperforming. I thought he did a very nice job. I thought he struck a nice balance. We know he's not going to give you the rah-rah over-the-top stuff like his dad, which he referenced. But there was some criticism in there of the players, which was nice to see. You actually hear someone from the organization publicly holding the players accountable, which is good.
Sal. Well, how about you do something about it, though? I mean, he's the one guy who could do. It's one thing if everybody else says, well, you know, we expect the players to be better. Well, he could do something about it. If it's you're putting the blame on the players, which I agree, that's where the blame should be put. Well, why don't you get some new players in here that can play the game a little bit better?
And he said he might. Yeah. And he said he might. Yeah, it's still, I would be more aggressive right now, but I understand that you probably can't be too aggressive because teams aren't ready to do much.
Yeah,
but it does seem like he will
here.
If he has to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's.
But there are moves to be made without going to make a trade right now. You could bring Florial up. You could move Torres to second base. You could send Frazier down. I mean, there are little moves that could shake the team up a little bit while you wait for the trade deadline.
The problem is anytime they bring somebody up from the minors who's hitting well at AAA, they come up and they go 0-for-9 with 6 strikeouts. These guys come up and they don't. Yeah, well, I mean, it's frustrating. Well,
You'd rather watch Florial or Brett Gardner?
I get it, I understand, but it's like you're just going to keep throwing stuff against the wall, hoping it sticks. And, you know, if some of these guys aren't ready to come up and you're forcing them into a situation, and then all of a sudden it could be detrimental to them as far as what they are moving forward, right?
Look, I think the Yankees right now, the simple move, they can't make significant moves because nobody wants to trade with them. Not saying they're not going to do that. Right now, nobody's willing to make that move. Bring Florial up, and why not move Torres the second? If you're tired of watching it and you're exhausted and you're sick of it, well, then why not do something about it?
Why not
send Frazier down? How about that? Can we agree on this? Why is Clint Frazier still up here?
Well, you're not right now. You may not see him because he's got this dizziness now. They sent him for a battery of tests yesterday. It's a guy with concussion history, so it's I wouldn't expect to see
concerning,
him.
Concerning, for sure. Sure.
Frazier.
Definitely concerning. Now, the other part, too, is the fact that Stanton doesn't play the outfield. I mean,
right. And if we're moving Gleyber, so now we're going to play Urshela at short and DJ at second, or at third, rather?
For now, that's what you kind of have to do until you can get a regular shortstop if you want it. But they need to be, they need a move that's going to shake them up a little bit. And those are the only ones that you could do now without a trade.
I get that. But isn't that the Torres move? And listen, that's a knock on the overall roster construction. The fact that they don't really have an answer if they want to do that. And he's kind of playing out of position. But if you move him, aren't you kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face? Because Gio is such an excellent third baseman. And now you put him at shortstop, where he's probably, he's an average get by, a bit of an improvement over Torres, but doesn't it worsen your overall defensive infield?
I mean, haven't you seen enough of Tor? Is it short?
No, I understand, but what I'm saying, you're going to put Tor in, so he doesn't play out of position, then you're going to make somebody else play out of position, no?
Well, the idea would be that Gio could handle it a little bit better and also maybe get Torres's bat going.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Since he's moved from second, he's been a disaster. So he needs to be fixed some way, somehow. Maybe putting him back at second, taking that pressure off of Fielden in short will do it. I mean, because otherwise you don't have any answer for why he's stunk the last 2 years.
Yeah. It's a lot of it's perplexing, and he's not the only one. It's a long list of names.
I got to tell you, I love your energy. Pretty good after a six-hour soiree. Now go get some sleep so that you can wake up in like 3 hours and hang out with the baby.
Yeah, exactly. No, I got to go actually into the city for work for Baseball Night in New York. But anyway, thank you, guys. It's been fun. I'll see you later.
Well, Yankees win. Are we done?